The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Last week we talked about vines and branches and abiding. You remember we talked about the word abiding, and I asked you to think about what that word means and what it brings to mind when you think about abiding. What does it mean to abide? And something that Christy Vigencher said really lit up something in my mind. I've been thinking about it this week. She said something to the effect of, part of the definition of the word abiding means that we also receive at the same time. We are receiving when we are abiding in Christ. At least we are to receive. And so in our talking about abiding, we touched on the privilege and the invitation that we have as believers to enter into the divine life, that we participate in the divine community of three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the self-giving love from the Father to the Son and back to the Father, all in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. My mind often goes to the icon by Rublev that we have shown here before, the three visitors who come to visit Abram back in the day, and the way they are looking at one another, and you just get the notion of this dynamism between the three members of the Godhead, giving perpetually, receiving perpetually, returning that loving gaze. So in talking about self-giving love and abiding and receiving, that touches on some places that are sometimes very difficult for some people. Some people have a hard time thinking about receiving God's love. I've even been one of them before. Sometimes it's hard for me to think about God loving me. Now, maybe that is a huge surprise to you, and you are amazed to hear that anybody would have any trouble at all receiving God's love. But I have to promise you, based upon a number of years of being a pastor and just being a Christian myself, that sometimes it's hard to receive God's love. Is it sometimes hard for you to receive God's love, to really know that God loves you? Listen, I need to tell you something today that you really need to hear. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You need to hear that today. And you need to receive that today. So here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to turn to your neighbor and look them right in the eye and say, God loves you. Would you do that? Now, I want you to say it again, but I want you to really, really look them in the eye and take some time to do this. And when the person looks you in the eye and says, God loves you, I'd like for you to pause a moment and I'd like for you to say, I know, and I receive it. Okay, would you just take a few moments to do that? God loves you. Did your hearts strangely burn within you when you hear that? God loves you. By the way, I'm convinced that so much of the trouble that we see, not only among Christians but those who are not, is that they can't possibly imagine that God really does love them. And He really does. In today's scripture, Jesus not only talks about abiding and love and about loving as He loves the Father, He loves us. He also calls us His friends. So I want you to turn to John 15, 9 through 17. We've already read parts of that today. John 15, Jesus is sharing something really amazing with His servants. You could also substitute the word slave for the way the Bible reads in that particular place. Doulos, servant, server, slave even. And Jesus says something really remarkable in John 15, 9. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Oh my goodness, we could camp out there for a long time. Jesus is loving us with the same love that the Father has for Him. Talk about participating in the divine life. Now He says, remain, remain in my love. You could also say abide. And remember that abiding also means receiving. Verse 10, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain or abide in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. My joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Who's Jesus talking about? Himself. I'll tell you how much I love you. I'm going to lay down my life for you. You are my friends. Verse 14, you ought to circle that. If you do what I command, I no longer call you slaves. Some translations say servants. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Some other translations say, because the master doesn't tell the slave his business. But now, because of the way that Jesus is extending to his disciples and by extension us, he says, no, you're no longer my servants. You're no longer my slaves. I'm going to call you my friend. Why? Because I'm going to confide in you. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. 16, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my command. Love one another. Remember that this happens in the context of the upper room on that Thursday night of Holy Week. We call it Maundy Thursday, Mandatum Novum, a new commandment. This is my new commandment, that you love one another. So can you just let that soak in for half a jiffy? Jesus says, you're no longer my servant. I'm calling you my friend. And I'm loving you with the same love that the Father has for me and I for him. I'm inviting you into the divine life. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? Now, I got to thinking about this business of friends. And there are at least two places, you might know of some others in Scripture, where God talks about having friends or someone being a friend of God. You don't necessarily need to turn there, but you might want to jot it down. James 2:23 refers to this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. In James 2:23, he writes, "And so it happened, just as the Scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith." And right there, he's referring to Genesis, the place in Genesis 15 where it says, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted to him that as righteousness because of the faith." Abraham was declared righteous because he had faith. And what was the faith? He believed God. And then James goes on. God counted him as righteous because of his faith. And then James says this at the very end of the verse. He was even called the friend of God. James says that Abraham was declared righteous because of what? He believed God. And God said, "You are righteous." And then James goes on to give this little snippet. He was even called a friend of God. Now, where in the world does that come from? Well, you don't need to turn there, but you might want to write it down. Isaiah 41:8 says this, "But as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descended from Abraham, my friend." God called Abraham a friend. Think just for a minute about why he did that. Well, because he believed God, because he was available to God, because he did what God asked. He obeyed him. And God calls Abraham a friend. Now, by the way, James does a little contrast. He talks about Abraham being a friend of God. And then in James 4, verse 4, he talks about people who are friends with the world. And he says, "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God?" I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God? How many times, maybe, does our friendship with the world or the stuff that the world offers us cloud or obscure or hinder our friendship with God? We looked at James 2:23. There's one other place that talks about friendship with God, and I'm thinking about a place in Exodus 33. You don't necessarily need to turn there, but you might want to jot it down. Exodus 33, 10 and 11 says this: "When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents." Verse 11, "Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks," what? "To a friend." Now, we don't know whether this was some sort of mediated presence. We just don't know. But the remarkable thing to me is that God calls Moses a friend. Now, go through your mind just a little bit and think about the reasons why Moses might be called a friend to God. Well, he believed God. He obeyed God. He was available to God. He participated with God in God's purposes. And so now Jesus, here in the New Testament, is talking to his disciples on the day that he gives them this new commandment. And it's the very week that he voluntarily gives his life over to redeem the whole of the world. And Jesus calls us friends, not equals, by the way. We are not equals with him, but we're no longer slaves. We're no longer servants. We've been engrafted into the family, as it were. Now, what do friends do? Jesus calls us a friend. Let's think for a minute about friends. What is it that friends do? Well, friends have your back. Is that something that somebody said a few minutes ago in prayer time? God's got your back. Friends love you, warts and all. A true friend does. A true friend. Have you ever said to someone who's talking about something they're going through with somebody, and you just have to say to them, you know what? They're not your friend. That's not really your friend. They may act like your friend. They may say you're their friend, but they don't have your back. They're not with you. They're not for you. A friend wants the best for you. A real friend celebrates when something good happens to you and isn't jealous. A friend sits beside you and may even not say a thing, but just sit beside you and mourn with you when you're going through some stuff. Friends are accountable to each other, really, really accountable. Friends call you on your stuff. And if you're going to abide in that friendship, then they need to let you call them on their stuff. It goes both ways. Someone who always wants to tell you about your stuff, but not their own, is not really your friend. A friend joins forces with you. A friend joins you in your work. A friend works with you. A friend is reconciled to you. A friend is available to you. A friend is hospitable. Abraham and Moses were that with God. They were available. They were hospitable. They were accountable. They were reconciled to God. This is the behavior of friends. And Jesus says that he confides in us. Remember, I said a minute ago, some translations say, knows the master's business. What a remarkable thing that you and I have been invited to know the master's business. We've been invited into this marvelous relationship. So what is Jesus' business? If he says we're friends and he's inviting us to know his business, if he's confiding in us about his business, what is this business? Jesus' business is to rewrite the world in love. That's his business. That's what his mission is, to rewrite the whole of the created order and present it back to the Father as a prayer at the end of all things. But you can't effectively join Jesus in his business if you cannot receive his love. You can't. You can't really effectively work alongside and participate in and be hospitable and reconciled and available to God if you cannot receive his love. Why is it so very hard? Even me sometimes. Why is it hard for some people to receive God's love. Why? Do they hate themselves? Maybe some self-loathing? I'm not good enough for God to love. Or you have no idea the stuff that I do behind the scenes. Maybe you feel stupid. The accuser is constantly telling you that you failed or messed up again. God couldn't love that. You've failed as a dad. You've failed as a pastor. God couldn't possibly love me. Maybe it's that you're hanging on to friendship with the world. Remember that James says that friendship with the world is not being a friend with God. Whatever it is today, you need to hear this. You need to hear this. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And he's called you his friend. So here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to turn to your neighbor. Take some time with it. Look them right in the eye. And say to them, God really loves you. And I want you to not say anything, you who are receiving it. Listen to it. Take it in. Don't make light of it. Don't try to pass it off as a silly little thing the pastor wants us to do. I want you to listen. I want you to take it in. And then I want you to say, and I receive it. And then I want you to do that for your neighbor. Would you do that, please? Just look him right in the eye. Tell him, God loves you. And again, if you're joining us on the Facebook or the Zoom, you need to hear this today. The world has so many messages and so much noise, so much junk. You need to hear this. God loves you. Would you receive that? Christian friend, God himself, in the person and work of Jesus Christ, has declared that you are his friend. And friends are the ones who know the master's business because they're accountable and hospitable and available. I want us to spend a little bit of time in prayer on this subject. Maybe today someone here in particular really needed to hear that. And it would be good for us to spend some time in prayer before we come to the table of the Lord and thinking about this business of friendship with God, that God really loves me. Well, let me first tell you a story. I said a minute ago in general that all through the years of being a pastor, I've encountered people who really have a hard time wrapping their heart and mind around the idea that God loves them. But just yesterday, it happened again. Someone who listens to our radio program from another city called, said, I've been listening to the radio program and I need help. And I said, tell me what's going on. And this person said, you need to know that I'm a person who is eaten up with fear. I'm scared even to go outside my house. And I was that way even before this whole pandemic thing hit, this person said. It seems like every day someone is saying something ugly to me or mean or I'm persecuted in some way and I'm just scared to death. I have all kinds of physical problems and I'm sure all of this is just eating me up inside. And I said, I happen to be working on some scripture right now about something you really need to hear. And that's this. God really loves you. Really loves you. And this person just began to melt. That's what they needed to hear. Perfect love casts out fear. And one of the most heartbreaking things about the conversation was that this person said that they just really couldn't wrap their mind, these are my words, not theirs, their mind around the fact that God really does love them. Listen, beloved, we have an obligation. We have been invited to participate in the divine life, in that marvelous community of three that is ever giving and ever receiving love. Jesus says, as I have loved you, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Jesus said, as I am in the Father, you are in me, I am also in you. Beloved, we are invited cast your glance somewhere higher than this chaotic world around you and realize that I have been invited into this divine relationship of love and that God loves you. We have a marvelous opportunity, a marvelous privilege to enter into that and to accept and receive that God loves us. And then, beloved, take that to a world that so desperately needs to hear it. Let's pray. Father, today on this day, this Lord's Day, there are so many people, me included, who need to hear that you love us. And so now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you just pour out that love on us now? Open our minds and our hearts to a brand new, marvelous understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit that you love us. Simple, yet profound. And beloved, if that describes you today, and you're thinking, Pastor Chris, I don't feel like God loves me, or I'm struggling with that right now. Would you just open your heart to the presence of the Holy Spirit, especially wide right now, and listen to God say, I love you. I love you. And would you reply to him, I know, and I receive it. Bend low into fragile hearts, Heavenly Father. Brother Jesus, we marvel that you have called us friends. There are special privileges and also responsibilities in that friendship. I pray that we would receive it, we would be hospitable to you, that we would also have your back as you have ours, that we would be for you as you are for us, and that we would know your business and participate with you in it. Now, how can we possibly do anything other, Father, than to take this love and friendship that your Son has made available to us and invited us into, accept it, receive it, and go to a world that is dying and return that love? One more thing, Holy Spirit. I ask for me, and I can imagine that others here would do the same, that you would show us today not only how to apply these truths, this reality, this incarnational invitation to our own lives, but would you show us someone today who really needs to hear this and give us the courage that comes with friendship with you to say to them, God loves you. Help us to be instruments of that love this day, we ask. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.